One, two, three, four, just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day, yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
Welcome to the program. I'm Ryan. With me, as always, is Dave Callens.
What's up?
And Robert Timothy.
Woo-hoo!
Yes, woohoo. So we're recording at a different time than usual. Usually we record Saturday late morning, early afternoon, or Tuesday night here in the shitty part of town. And you know what?
I can walk you to your car if you want after this.
Did you bring your nunchucks?
I legitimately
or
sometimes
your batarang or whatever you carry around.
I bet he has a batarang.
Oh, I have Batman brass knuckles, so I guess that's kind of like a batarang. Every once in a while, we have to tape Science Faction late at night too. Same studio, obviously.
Bleep that.
And I do have to walk the scientists out to their car.
Oh, so, know, for real? That's hysterical.
That's fucking hilarious.
It's not the unsavory folks that come out that I noticed when we record at night here. It's I mentioned this before. I never noticed the abundance of like Arab shitty car used dealerships in the area. I noticed them last time. I never noticed them during the day. I don't know why. They're like vampires. They just come out like good price for you, good price for you. Like those guys.
You're being really racist right now. Most of them are Persian, not Arab. So
whatever. I don't know, Chaldean. You know what? I was thinking as I was walking past one of these things, and these shitty car dealerships. The ghetto. These guys like went out and they just got them from like Craigslist. This is a whole car lot of Craigslist cars.
Well, they get them from the auction. They get them from the car auction.
They get them
pass savings along to you.
Yeah. They get them partially from the police auction, but
not
also
police auction, the dealer auction.
Okay, but also they get them from private people, and I know this because they're the reason that I've put off selling my shitty car that I don't like for so long, because every time I have to sell a car just privately, like, I don't know how they get my number so fast. Like, I'm typing up the Craigslist ad to sell my car, and my cell phone fucking starts like, red shipping clothes, you said red shipping clothes. I'm like, Yeah. Okay, I come right now. $3. Like, I'm asking $6,500. It's a 2013. All right, $6. $10. Find it off. I need it for my dealer. Like, you're gonna put this in your fucking shitty car dealership? No. It's not me. No, it's I need it for my dealer.
Which is weird too, because if you go to auto auctions, they already get the cars way cheaper than anyone is selling them on Craigslist. Yeah. So like. It's kind of tripping over
and
your
then,
own foot.
And then they show up with a crew of their friends, and they just start kicking tires, fucking examining it all, pointing shit out to me that doesn't exist. They're pointing to a perfectly fine side panel, like, what is this shit? What is this? $100 off, $100 off. I cannot even sell this. I thought you were going to sell it. No. It's for my daughter. I cannot give it.
But also they're pointing out maybe stuff that is wrong with it, but you're like, you get this as a used car, right? That's why I'm not asking fucking market price.
By the way, you've offered me $1,000 for this 2013 vehicle. I mean, how much lower are you going to go? Oh, look at this. Is someone sitting in the seat? Someone is sitting in the seat. Anyway, the other night, I watched a movie called The Mule with Clint Eastwood.
Oh, that's right.
You know what?
It was on my list. I wanted to see it. Missed it when I was in theaters, though.
The idea is he's carrying drugs across the border.
He's a mule.
Yeah, pretty much, guy. Let me tell you something. I'm kind of sick of this movie being made. It gets made about 11 times a year. Sometimes it's a drama. Sometimes it's a comedy. But I'm going to give you the pitch either way. Okay, we're going to get a beloved old-timey Hollywood celebrity, Clint Eastwood or Michael Douglas or maybe Robert De Niro, maybe Jack Nicholson. One of those four will do it. And, all right, get this. They're old. And they don't understand this generation, okay? All right. And one more thing. The fact that they refuse to get with the times somehow gives them the upper hand on everybody. We'll write it very lazily, and just somehow the fact they refuse to learn how to use their cell phone or program their GPS somehow gives them the upper hand.
So this was basically just a reboot of that other Clint Eastwood movie that made Get Off My Lawn famous?
Yeah.
Gran Torino?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Gran Torino was a good movie. I liked Gran Torino.
Yeah, I know. You can edit out a lot of racial slurs pretty nicely.
Yeah, if you like Gran Torino, don't watch this piece of shit. But like, seriously, this keeps happening. They keep making this movie. And by the way,
it's the idea that he just drives his car across the border, picks up drugs, and drives back.
Yeah, but he's real old time. He doesn't understand this generation.
Does he like have some kind of secret compartment in his F-150?
No, he just
tosses it. in there and the dogs don't get it.
Dude, no.
I know one thing about this movie because I saw some people on SNL talk about it during the weekend update, whatever. And the thing that they told me is that in this movie, Clint Eastwood has two threesomes.
Yep.
And I was like, are you fucking shitting
me? Who's the other guy?
The other two guys?
No.
That just seems like that's such a fucking egotistical move to make your own movie and give yourself two threesomes in the movie.
With super young, super
Oh, of course,
hot.
Yeah.
This is, not they, like
is it the same participants? In
no,
all?
No, different participants.
So he's just like an 85-year-old swinging dick going out, running drugs.
And that's how he did things back in the days. Libtards.
Banging fussy Latinas. Like, that's just...
You have threesomes because you don't know how to use a cell phone. Yeah.
Well, to be fair, in a way, that is... like a really good way to write a movie because if you're an
for yourself,
Well, no, but think about it. If you're an 80-something-year-old man and you're writing movies for a group of other 80-something-year-old men who will definitely go see this movie because they sure as fuck aren't seeing anything else, right? Like, if they're going to go see a movie, they're seeing this. They want to see themselves getting into a bunch of threesomes with young chicks as well. That's actually...
a lot of great projection there, but...
Yeah, he's basically done The Secret, but in movie form.
You know, and the thing is, like, not just this movie, but, like I said, I see these, like, old guy is old movie, like, 11 times a year. Like, what is with these Hollywood legends? And I mean legends that, like, seem to be putting out, I don't know, 8 really shitty, low-budget to no-budget movies a year now. Like, it started happening, like, in 2000, I'm going to say 12, where, like, all of a sudden, these legends are putting out all these crappy movies. And I understand maybe they're just trying to leave $1 billion for their grandchildren, too, on top of what the mint they left for their kids. Maybe so, but, like, what about your legacy? They remind me of, like, the legendary UFC fighters that
BJ
don't know
Penn.
When to hang it up.
BJ Penn.
Ken Shamrock, Anderson Silva. Like, all right, I get it. You want to work, but what about your legacy?
Yeah.
Like, when I watched the Bad Grandpa with Robert De Niro, by the way, I made it through about 26 minutes of that piece of shit, and I started tapping out like I was in a leg lock. But, like, I understand the humor is like, okay, it's a legendary actor, but he's, like, not taking himself too seriously, and he's making crude jokes and doing stuff that's really off-brand. But, like, by the time, like, you see Robert De Niro with his pants around his ankles with a banana up his ass making fart noises, you're like, but you're De Niro.
And he didn't have any threesomes in that movie. What the fuck?
And also, by the way, when I'm watching De Niro be in Bad Grandpa or Silly Grandpa or whatever the fuck that movie was called, like, I just remember thinking, like, you're up there in years. You're not 50 anymore. You're, like, late 70s, early 80s. There was a straight year where you risked this being your last movie ever.
That's true.
A straight year that could have been the final Robert De Niro film.
I always like the guys who make the choice to do the shitty movie over the good movie. Like, the people who are like, no, I would rather do... So the famous example, I think, of this is Will Smith turned down the role of Neo in The Matrix to do the movie Wild Wild West.
He didn't know he was making a shitty movie, though.
Yes,
he
did! No, yes, he did! What, do you think he can't read a script? Do you think
he thought he was getting a moneymaker?
Do you think somebody sent him Dr. Zhivago, but he picked that up and read through, and that's what he thought he was getting into? He knew he was doing Wild Wild West.
No, he did not. 100% did not.
When he got to Giant Mechanical Spider... He had to know something was going to be bad.
I got two words for you. Star Wars. You think all that?
I got two words for you. Shut the fuck up. You don't know what you're talking about.
No, how dare you?
Now,
no.
Another example.
No. How do you? And by the way, how do you read The Matrix and not go, oh, this is this is going to be amazing?
Listen, the guy thought he was getting
because
a
it
franchise.
Hadn't been done before. You piece of shit.
He thought that was going to be a franchise.
Absolutely. This wasn't that in the early stages of his dominating the summer box office.
He thought that everyone was going to be
Independence Day, all that shit. That's, he thought this was his next one.
I think that came before. So Independence
Day. And he's not the only one that thought that was going to be a big money maker. Like, I think Burger King had like a collaborated burger that went with it.
Had legs and walked away. Hey, speaking of turning down scripts, though, I saw a story a while ago. Sean Connery famously turned down both Lord of the Rings and, God, I want to say The Matrix maybe. He turned down two big movies and then saw how big they were. That's why he took The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Really?
Yes.
So he
and
turned
that movie
down
was
two,
a fucking
yeah,
mess.
He turned down two good movies, yes. And, then
and
he's
like
well,
I don't
want to
turn down another one. Yeah. So he took that piece of shit.
So here's something that's kind of interesting to think about is now you hear about all these guys that turned down a legendary role for a piece of shit role. Like famously, James Caan turned down One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and that got Nicholson the Oscar. Yeah. You know, things like that. But he's still James Caan.
Yeah,
he's fine.
You could say that about Sean Connery and. To be fair, Will Smith too.
Right. They're all fine, but my dad went to college with a guy that like turned down bigger roles. Turned out to be a nobody. Like that's gotta hurt. This guy's name was Rob. I know his first name was Rob, and I got to meet him later. Like later
last
in
name's
life.
De Niro.
This guy was in a few movies. He was in he had a bit part in a Marlon Brando film. He had a bunch of like these little bit parts in movies. He was a good friend of my dad in college, and they offered him a role on the show Chips that later went to Eric Estrada.
He could have been Eric Estrada.
He could have been Eric Estrada.
Wow.
He was like, I'm not taking a role on a stupid TV show. I'm a movie star. He was doing bit parts, man. Bit parts.
Wow.
He was like, that fucking pilot's not going to get picked up. It's about fucking motorcycle cops. And so they offered it to my dad's friend. He's like, I'm in movies, bro. No. The guy ended up like as a salesman or something.
Didn't that happen to David Caruso? Like he went one direction and like turned, I forget which way he went, movies or TV, but he like turned down the other medium. Like, no, this is my thing. And then he just kind of washed out. The thing with that guy, with Rob, who you're talking about, like the thing that would keep me from sticking a gun barrel in my mouth over making that mistake is like, well, maybe the show wouldn't have been as good with me on it.
Yeah,
you know?
That's a good point.
Maybe I wouldn't have
I
been
like
the
that,
breakout
Dave.
Star.
That's what I like about Dave. He lets his low sense of self-esteem comfort him in times of need.
If I was a part of it, it would have been a failure anyway.
So I would have ruined this scene and this scene.
I want to talk, too, as long as we're talking about your old guy making the shitty movies over and over again, the parallel of that is what I call the Adam Sandler effect, where he keeps making the same move where he's like the schlubby nice guy, and it's always fucking garbage, it's always shit, but he makes himself like, hey, I'm like the normal guy that everybody loves, and I come out on top, and it just...
And those keep making money?
And people don't keep getting sick of it, I just can't understand, that blows my fucking mind.
He's like this big stupid whale that's just making his way through the ocean, and then you gotta remember, there's a whole bunch of these feeder fish that are just clinging to Adam Sandler.
Rob Schneider's on one
fluke. You know, like half of his crew is just positioned
Don't
around him,
Luke.
Including our good buddy Owen Benjamin, who got his start with Sandler. All of them are just like mooching off this big dumb whale making its way through the ocean. And then there are just tourist boats full of fat, horrible Midwesterners pointing at the whale and appreciating it while the rest of us go, stop looking at that fucking whale. I think somebody made a point online, which I think is so apt. They're like, everybody, I don't know if you guys realize this. Adam Sandler is the white Tyler Perry. And it's like, oh, my God, he is.
Yes. No. I think Tyler Perry's getting us back for all those Ernest movies. That is the black community's way of getting the whitey back for Ernest Goes to Camp and Jail and, back to jail for a probation violation. Whatever happened to him?
Dude, speaking of whales, did you see that video? Did you guys see the video? Maybe a month, 2 months ago. It was this white family, of course, a suburban white family out on a boat, and whales appeared underneath the boat. Like, you could reach over and touch the whales. The family, except for the dad, freaked out, called 911.
On the whales?
They were losing their mind that these whales were going to hurt them or damage them. They called 911.
Whale black.
That's like peak whiteness right there.
Yeah.
The dad is like, hey, you guys, this is great. This is nature. You're never going to see this again. And they're like, get us home. Get us out of here. 911, there's these whales. It's fucking insane.
I feel like as a guy who's a father of a family, I feel like every once in a while you just need the, hey, everybody calm the fuck down. Like, you just need that. You need to keep that chambered every once in a while and throw it out there. Because I will see that. I'll see, like, the family that's, like, acting up in the park and stuff. And you see the dad, who's clearly not part of it, but the kids are acting crazy and the mom is indulging them. And it's a whole big thing. And you feel like just going over to him and be like, hey, you don't have to be a dick. Just yell a little. Yeah. Just yell a little bit. Make your voice a little extra gravelly. Yell a little bit. Kind of lightly make a fist like you might hit somebody, but don't actually hit them.
Now, I don't know. You have a wife that I think might be able to take you.
Yeah. Oh, no. God,
so,
are you kidding me?
I'm questioning raising your voice to her.
Are you kidding me?
I don't know, man. She's got grappling over you.
Yeah.
No, even when we grapple, I could beat her in grappling.
Disagree.
And her striking is subpar.
But I understand what you mean. It's always bothersome to see the broken, beaten parent that's just doing nothing. And especially because I had a dad that used to fucking yell and shout at other kids.
Yeah.
I had that dad. Yeah, we'd be at the supermarket, and if kids were fucking around in the shopping cart behind us in line, he'd go, "Hey!" And everyone, including their parents, would be like, "Oh."
Yep, totally. Yeah, no, my dad was fairly calm and stuff, but he had a dad voice, and when he said it, you shut the fuck up. And, like, that's the thing. You don't want to be the dad that screams and yells and, is mean and horrible, but you do want to have a dad voice, and you want to bring it out every once in a
while. I get that.
I used it, actually, an hour before we came here, I was taking my son on a walk, and we were walking through the alleys, and then he gets back in his stroller before we get near the streets.
What kind of fucking walk are you going on? Just strolling through the alley looking for a fight.
Yeah, it's great.
Hello, son, a hobo.
We're dressed like baseball players. It's the Warriors. He went toddling, and he just went running into the street, basically towards the street, and I used my dad voice. I used my hey! And he just immediately stopped and froze where he was. And I was like, perfect, saved a life with my dad voice.
Yeah, you gotta have it.
Now, hang on. Speaking of yelling and dad voice, you have to know when to not use it.
Yeah, like in bed. Like, buddy, don't bang your wife and try and throw the dad voice
something
in
like
there.
That. I don't know. Right. No, me and our buddy John Grooves and I were riding those electric scooters through the park the other day. And we were cruising down the sidewalk.
Is this going to be as good as your story where your other friend had a check to drop up and then he couldn't drop it up and then he saw the guy?
Oh, let's leave all the stories to Ryan. He doesn't like any other stories. No, we were cruising on our scooters.
Now, hold on. Can I ask you a question? Does Groobs have a... I heard a rumor that Groobs' scooter goes faster than other people's scooters. Is that
true?
Yeah,
he modified it.
Awesome.
Yeah. He's going to break his other elbow for sure. He's got Ryan on speed dial to take him to the hospital. So we're cruising along, and some guy older than us yells, "Hey, you can't ride those on the sidewalk." I'm like, "You're not... What are you doing yelling at another grown man?" About a scooter of
now,
all things.
Now, were you wearing the hoodie?
Well, yeah, okay, hold on. First of all, to be fair, if you're on a scooter, you get yelled at regardless of your age. You've now degraded yourself in age.
You forfeited your age, and now you're no automatically 13.
I gotta say this, Dave. I'm on the old man side. You're not supposed to ride that shit on the sidewalk, especially at the modified fast one that Grooves has got going on. Get in the fucking street. You're supposed to be in the bike lane with those shits. Get in there.
No.
I see what you're both saying. Yeah, Dave was definitely acting like an 11-year-old.
Yeah.
But
don't leave John out of this. He was there too.
You know he's susceptible. You are a bad influence on Groobs.
Why isn't he the bad influence on me? Come on.
But the other hand, I have always, I think people need to watch their fucking mouths when it comes to yelling at people. Because I've had this a few times too. Like, first of all, people that yell from cars that would never yell at you if you held up the line at the bank, you know what I mean?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
You know, there's every time I'm in a car, by the way, I drive a little red Chevy Cruze I was planning on passing off to my stepdaughter. So when people see, the people think in their big lifted trucks, think they can talk down to me. And then I get out, they're like, "Oh, yeah, the car doesn't represent the driver, does it, motherfucker? What? Where's your honking horn now? You were Mr. fucking Charles Bronson 5 seconds ago." Anyways, that. but yeah, like another example, I was surfing one time. I accidentally cut in front of some guy in a wave. He goes, "You fucking faggot asshole." I turn and look, and all of a sudden I'm like, we're living in a world where I can kick your fucking ass. We're not gonna fucking acknowledge any of that.
Well, it depends. He might be a better surfer. He can get to the beach quicker.
When I paddled up to him, suddenly he had this look of fear in his eyes. I literally paddled up to him and went, "What'd you say?" And he went, "You took my wave." I'm like, "Right. You used a slur. You used aggressive curse words." But because we're all living in this world where we're used to the internet, where we don't have to fucking to answer for anything we say anymore. I think that's who that guy was. He's so used to policing people.
No, I don't think the old guy is the guy on the internet. Here's the thing.
I think he's the RSVP guy. Ah, the senior patrol who has nothing better to do.
I knew he was a fucking piece of shit.
I don't know. I gotta say this. If you're doing something shitty, if you're riding a scooter on the sidewalk, that's shitty. People try to use the sidewalk. Those things will fucking kill you. If you're riding a scooter on the sidewalk, expect to be yelled at. And yeah, sometimes you'll ride it on the sidewalk, try and get away with it. But I kind of feel like getting yelled at is part of the payment for doing that thing, right? Like, don't you expect to be yelled at when you do something wrong?
All right, but I clotheslined a guy off one in Santa Monica. And I didn't yell at him. He was coming at me and my wife, and I stuck at my arm. I took him right the fuck off it.
Either way, don't you go, "Well, whether I got yelled at or clotheslined, that's on me. I was the one doing wrong. That's on me."
All right, you're right. You're right. But
I like where Bobby draws his line in the sand. Like, you will not be on the sidewalk with that thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I reserve the right to get off the scooter and challenge the old man to a fight.
Oh, totally. Yeah, yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
You yelled at me. You made me feel small.
Yes.
Now I'm going to fucking fight an old man, and we're going to make a movie starring Clint Eastwood about it, where he won the fight because he doesn't understand his GPS.
They went home and had
or whatever they fucking talk about in those movies. Oh, and by the way, in those movies, there's got to be a scene where some guy refers to himself as cisgender, and there's a close-up of Clint Eastwood's face, and steam's coming out of his ears, because the message here is old men have the final say on what everyone should be called.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because that's part of those movies, too. So I keep seeing this meme about people that brag they don't watch Game of Thrones.
Which is crazy. It's like the best written show that was ever been on TV. I don't know how you can't watch it, not watch it.
Dave, you're like me, where like I never see these people that Game of Thrones fans are always fucking lamenting about.
Yeah.
Which is that continually brag they don't watch Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I never see a person claiming it. I just see Game of Thrones fans bitching against that person.
I've seen a bunch of people, straw man. I can pull it out right now on my phone. I've seen a bunch of people do that. They're
straw man.
They're super proud of it.
False flag.
Straw man.
Fake news.
You're like, what does this say from Robert Timothy? I don't understand why you're showing me this. They do.
It's Clint Eastwood.
It is interesting. Listen, I highly suggest you guys get into it. Go on HBO Go. Start from the beginning.
I am 100% certain I would love the show.
Yeah.
It's just too much to catch up on at this point.
Yeah, but you know what?
It feels like
that's like saying I don't want to get married to this woman I love because I might have too much life left to live. Like there's too much.
Just bang her on the side.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fine.
What if I'm happy this whole time? That's gonna be aggravating.
No. Dave's never gonna be happy.
Thank you.
Hey, and you know what? If he's in it, it wouldn't have been a good marriage anyway. You know fucking,
I'm 0-1 right now. What do you want? Hey, I did watch one part of Game of Thrones. I watched The Red Wedding way back when that was a thing.
You just watched one of the biggest spoilers
I wanted to see. Everyone's talking about it. I was like, let me see this. I'm like, oh, that was pretty fucking brutal.
Dave, I really would love a series that I'm addicted to. Like, I didn't start watching True Blood until it was off the air. And then
that's a great way to do it because you can binge it.
Oh, but that was too much.
That was a little dangerous, too. All right, so this is back when DVDs was the way to watch shit. This is about, this is about 2012 when I discovered True Blood. And like, my girlfriend at the time had like just the whole library of DVDs, and I turned into a junkie. I had work the next day, and I'm sitting there like, okay, it's 3 a.m. I need to go to fucking bed. I have work at 9. All of a sudden, it would end in a cliffhanger like, shit, and I just go racing for the other DVD. So there is that danger. At least when you watch something as it comes out, the timeline of the show itself polices you from being a fucking tweaker. So there's that. Also, I have this thing, though, like, you know when you have so much housework to do that you just take a nap about it?
What's that?
You have so much to do that it gives you anxiety. That's how I feel about this show. What was it on, like 9 years?
Yeah.
There's 8 seasons, but some of the seasons are 6 episodes. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, it's not
particular. But
still, it just feels
that's
like
a lot to catch up on.
There's so much to catch up on, and then I'm going to be wanting to talk about it with people that haven't seen the shit in like 4 years.
I did that with Westworld. I waited after a year. It was up for a year. And everybody was talking about how good it was. So I got the whole season and I watched it all at once. And I was like, it was all right. It wasn't great. But I didn't have anyone to talk about with because they were like, oh, I fucking watched it a long time ago. Shut up.
The thing that was weird to me is starting about 2 years ago, people started bitching and be like, this is the season that Game of Thrones jumped the shark.
Yes.
They were so good up until now. People started saying that on what I legitimately consider like the best season, which was like one season ago. Like it was really, really good. I'm not going to spoil anything in case you guys decide to watch it later.
I might go back. I don't know.
But there was some huge battle scenes. It was fucking beautiful. It was an amazing season, and people were like, this sucks. I hate this season. It's going the wrong way. This is my show, and how dare they do this to me?
See, I'm afraid I won't be able to get into it, you know, because the same thing happened with the Marvel movies. I watched Avengers like everyone else. I watched all 3 Iron Mans. I watched The Hulk. I'm like, cool. They're making movies about comics I used to read as a kid. This is like 2007. And all of a sudden, before I knew it, like I fucking took a nap and 3 more Avengers movies came out. And then a bunch of subsets like, oh no, this one is Hulk and Thor.
Not a movie.
And then this one over here, that's technically an Avengers movie, but it's called Captain America. but it's all the Avengers in that one. And so like I tried when I was homesick with my foot injury the other day. Like I'm like, you know what? maybe I'll try and catch up on some of these. I don't know what order they're in. Yeah. They're not numbered. Yeah. I'm like,
what is numbered? Game of Thrones.
I'm trying to look it up on my phone. I'm like, I can't watch any of this. I don't know who that. I'm sorry, I'm out. I watched like an hour of Civil War and I was lost.
See, dude, Game of Thrones, like everyone's been posting about the series finale that just came out. And in my newsfeed, it's been about 80% bitching that it was terrible and 20% saying it was good and or perfect.
Yeah.
And based on the arguments presented, I think the people who said it was good were right. Because the people who hate it were like, just really vague, like, oh, it sucked, that shouldn't have happened. The people who loved it were like, here's why it was good. Like, they had it well thought out. And I'm like, okay, this makes sense.
I told you guys.
People are just disappointed, didn't go the way they want.
I told you guys, like, I don't think it was, like, the greatest ending ever, but I thought it was a good ending. And the reason that I think it is a good ending is I can almost always call the end of TV shows. Like, or the in series and movies and stuff. I just kind of, like, it's annoying because I'm like, oh, I know what's going to happen. This is one of those times where despite all of the people trying to guess, essentially, everybody got it wrong, myself included. All the evidence people laid out. There are huge discussion blogs. There's Wikipedia.
Oh, of course there is.
There's a Wikipedia just for Game of Thrones. It's own Wikipedia site just for all the different things in Game of Thrones.
They have that for like everything.
But it's with thousands and thousands of entries. And all of this speculation, and yet I got it wrong, everybody got it wrong. That means the writers were actually thinking when they did something, right? So they didn't shoot for the easy thing. They didn't even shoot for the second easy or third easiest possible thing. They made
I'm lost when you're talking about that. Literally, stop. Stop right now.
Now
you're
Bobby,
losing me. That means you've lost all the listeners that don't watch that show. So listen to me. Forget Game of Thrones. Mm. Forget Marvel. Forget it all. I have a problem when fans of any series feel entitled to for things to go the way they think they should go.
Well, the Game of Thrones was the best example of that because two episodes ago, the fans got together, and I think it was like 500,000 people signed a petition.
Way too many, yeah.
For them to have to rewrite the last season. So they literally...
Go fuck yourself.
They got together and they said...
I don't watch that show, but go fuck yourself, whoever did that.
You need to rewrite season 8. And yeah, that's what HBO said. And that's what I said too. I was like, who the fuck do you think you are? You are the...
They think they're the lady from Misery.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they
You're think. The person walking through the art gallery. You're not the artist,
he
motherfucker.
He's eaten by the cockatoo grand dragon.
it's just a crazy thought to think in your head. No, I should be the one who decides
well,
how
you know
this
what?
Goes.
You know what? It's that we are. Okay, let me get my Clint Eastwood voices. This generation, y'all are used to bullying fucking creators. Yeah. Because look, it's already worked. It's already worked a bunch of times. Arrested Development, like every time they put out a season, they're like, okay, we heard you, we'll recut it, you know, like, all right, here's the new season again. Oh shit, you didn't like that one either. Okay, we'll redo another one. Like the
I didn't know they did that. Wow.
People are allowing this to happen. So the nerds on the internet with their nerd rage, they've seen results when enough of them get together and demand action.
Meanwhile, HBO's laughing its ass off and they're like, do you understand it costs us like $20 million an episode. We're not fucking redoing anything, you sacks
but
of shit.
More to the point, what you were saying, that these people, they're not like, I know how it should end. They're not. They're just saying, you should just end it better.
Yeah.
I don't know how, but you should end it better.
I don't know, because I don't have a creative bone in my fucking body.
Exactly.
But you do better.
They're the guy. They're the guy who's watching football on TV and yelling, "Catch the ball! Catch the ball!" They're not trying to do that.
They're armchair wizards.
Yeah. There's no wizards in Game of Thrones. How dare you?
They're armchair dragons. I'm sure they got those in there, right?
They do have dragons.
Sick.
Yeah.
So had a little uncle nephew time with Bobby's kid on Saturday.
Oh, that's true.
Got to he dropped.
He's been being pretty fucking adorable. Like, because you guys watched him like a week ago. And for those of you guys who don't have kids, there's a god-awful annoying song called Baby Shark, which is like...
I'm aware it exists. I don't know what it is.
Baby Shark, do-do-do-do-do-do, baby shark, do-do-do-do-do-do, baby shark. Well, so
you know what, Dave? You should write the creator of that song and demand he write it better.
Yes.
So he sings that and he does all the members of his family and stuff. And he goes like Mama Shark and Daddy Shark and Grandpa and Grandma. And he started adding in Uncle Ryan Shark and Friend Aaron Shark as some of the sharks, which is pretty adorable. And he really digs them. So we're like, all right, we want some time. We want to go see a movie. Let's let Ryan and Aaron watch him and like have some fun.
Yeah.
And we showed up. And of course, as we show up, Ryan is just covered in cement. Literally. It's not a metaphor. He is literally.
He's auditioning for the Fantastic Four reboot.
Yeah. Write it better.
You know when they put Han Solo in carbonite? So he like just runs over to Aaron, just has fun, and we were like, I know. We'll sneak out. Like, we don't want to make a big goodbye and make him sad. We'll just sneak out while he's not looking. But from what I heard, he got pretty upset when he found out.
Yeah, you essentially didn't say goodbye to your kid, and he noticed.
He ghosted your son.
You know,
beautiful.
What's funny is watching Erin, who has a paternal kid of her own, versus me, who's never had kids of his own. Mm-hmm. It's weird because I'm much more nervous when I'm in charge of someone else's kid. Like, yeah. She knows the kid will be fine because she's been through all this before. She's been in charge of a baby full time. Me, I'm like, that Jesus! Like, I just keep going to, like, fucking middle of the movie Pet Cemetery. Like, kid in road.
Wouldn't it be funny if in this, like, Ryan is pointing it out like he is, like, paranoid, but what if we look and it's actually Ryan who's the responsible parent? Like, Aaron's throwing knives at him and shit.
No, like, every time he walked near the coffee table, he was just, Bobby's kid walks fine. He'd walk near my coffee table, and I would just flash forward like Nicolas Cage in that one terrible movie where you can see 3 seconds ahead or whatever. He had to do that movie to appease the tax man. All of a sudden, I just see him tripping and hitting his head on the corner and his skull being fractured. Us in the ER, and Bobby saying, "The friendship is over. You killed my son." And that's just him walking near a coffee table.
Yeah.
And literally everything he did, I'd go 3 seconds forward. How could this kill him? Oh, yes, it's gonna.
Yep.
I was like, Erin, we gotta put the fire out in the fireplace. We had a fire going. It was a rainy night. And yeah. She's like, why would we put the fire out? Like, let me explain the gruesome details.
Just runs in the fire.
Yeah.
Let me explain to this Rube Goldberg machine of disaster.
He's gonna slide into home right into those fucking coals.
Yeah. No, you know what? Your instincts are not wrong, because let me tell you, kids are dumb as fuck. And they will find ways to hurt themselves that you literally did not know was possible. Like, when they're young babies, if you put a blanket in their crib, they'll die. We call it SIDS. And we just didn't know you weren't supposed to put blankets in cribs with babies, right? Like, they're so bad at living that blankets are fatal to them, right? Not smothering them with blankets, just putting a blanket in there will kill that fucking baby.
Now, I did have a little bit more respect. I know that we always joke, and there's the famous Bill Burr joke about being a stay-at-home mother isn't hard.
Yeah.
No, I love that bit.
Great bit.
And everyone likes to clown on that. But, like, I did get one... I did gain one little morsel of more respect for the stay-at-home moms is the annoyance of the repetitive kids songs that you have to put on. Like you said, Baby Shark. My buddy's renting a room for me right now. He's got a daughter that he has partial custody of. When she comes over, her favorite show is Animaniacs, specifically
Pinky
and the Brain. No. He showed, I have Hulu.
Ah.
We were showing her old kids shows. I showed her Rugrats and Doug. And the one she took the most shine to is Pinky and the Brain. Let me tell you something about Pinky and the Brain. I fucking hated that show when I was her age. It was appropriate for me to watch it. I hated it. I hated everything about Animaniacs.
I like the Animaniacs and Pinky and the Brain.
Yeah,
this
absolutely.
Podcast is dissolved.
Hey, Dave, what are you doing tonight?
And I just could not stand the song. Now, the thing is, when she comes over, I love this kid. She calls me Uncle Ryan, too. I love this kid very much. I want her to be happy in my home. So I put up with it. But from the minute she steps foot in that door to the minute she goes back to her mom's house, Pinky and the Brain, Pinky and the Brain. And these fucking episodes are like 7 minutes long.
Yeah.
So you hear that theme song every goddamn 8th minute.
Yeah.
Pinky and the Brain. Funny. Pinky and the Brain.
I'm like, Bobby and I are both enjoying this.
Yeah.
I'm like,
I'd be hanging out on the couch. How cool, Pinky and the Brain.
I'm in my room shoving aspirins and socks into my ears and screaming into a pillow, make it stop and wish I want the sweet release of death. Pinky and the Brain. It's driving me nuts. And I realize, oh shit, stay-at-home moms have to listen to the same theme song over and over and over. How do they not just drown that kid in the tub?
It's horrible. My son's is Baby Shark and the song Hey Baby by No Doubt. Because my wife and I used to sing.
Wow. That's a little.
My wife and I used to sing it to him because the line is Hey Baby, Hey Baby. And so we would sing it and he got super into it. And then we played it for him a couple times. And now he demands to watch the music video 40 to 55 times a day.
Wow. That's funny.
And if you ever, by the way, now I have done essentially an in-depth doctoral thesis on that video. I've seen it so many goddamn times. If you want to see how dumb people were in the like late 90s, watch the music video for Hey Baby, because you will realize that basically what they said is, hey, have you seen this new thing? It's called the green screen. Let's just put Gwen Stefani on a platform with a green screen around her. And we'll just put some crazy shit in the background. It'll be the best music video ever.
All right. Hold the phone. I'm going to watch this video and give some live commentary right now. Let me see what this video is.
I can tell you what's going on throughout the entire fucking video.
I'm going to show it to you, Dave. You can see it on my phone here.
By the way, Easter egg in this. There is...
In the video?
Yeah. I don't know if he's the drummer, because they don't really show what they do in the band, but there's a blonde dude in No Doubt.
Okay.
Watch how rhythmically untalented this man is, because everybody's like dancing, and he can't dance very clearly, so they specifically put him in positions or edit out areas where he is dancing around it.
Okay, so right now it starts off with them dancing in front of some kind of curtain here, and then they're on their tour bus, and now Gwen Stefani spanking herself. Okay, then that blonde guy looks like a fucking tweaker.
That is the dude who cannot dance and has no rhythm.
Wait, there's two blonde guys. There's the Indian blonde guy, and then there's the other blonde guy.
The white dude.
Okay, the white. All right. Well, then say
and
that.
The lead singer blonde guy.
Yeah. All right, that's the guitar player, I believe, then. This is just a bunch of doofuses doing the Running Man in front of a green screen.
Yes.
And then,
yes.
Look, our singer's really hot.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the video. Oh, now they're being silly on the tour bus. Jesus Christ, I hated everything about the late 90s.
Oh, my gosh. It's so bad. Like, you just realize, you're artistically devoid. Like, there's nothing, you have no point or purpose here. You just found a green screen, and we're like, what can we do with this?
Well, the end of any fucking decade, stylistically, is just a bunch of creatively bankrupt hacks mimicking the good stuff that happened at the beginning of that decade when they were fucking tired of the shit from the previous decade. So they made their own thing. Happened with fucking, we'll explore the 90s. Everyone was tired of all the glam metal bullshit in the 80s. Grunge came around. And then Gwen Stefani's husband was one of the main people like, I'll just go ahead and copy that then.
Yeah. You want to know what's really funny? I did some background research because I've watched this so many times. Apparently No Doubt was founded by Gwen Stefani's brother. And then at some point they were like doing their band thing and they're like, man, we can't get like any attention because grunge is so popular right now. We're not grunge and it sucks and blah, blah, blah. And then he invited Gwen Stefani into the band. And then at some point it's unclear whether they like voted him out or whatever. And they went on to be one of the most popular bands of all time. And like he started the band, he built it, and then he let Gwen Stefani in it. And she essentially Game of Thrones his ass out of No Doubt.
Stop referencing Game of Thrones. I don't get the reference.
She pulled the chips on him. She's like, you know what? Could have been the star. Chips passed on it.
The band would have been very successful with him in it anyway.
Hey, let me back up a little bit, Bob. You said you went to the movies the other day. What'd you go see?
Oh, we saw Long Shot, and it was really good, actually.
Okay.
Really good.
Just curious, because I was debating a friend of mine this. When you go to the movies, do you go to the box office, or do you go to the kiosk or buy your tickets online?
Online.
Okay. I do that shit, too. And at the grocery store, I go to the self-checkout. I was debating a buddy of mine who's saying that that's killing jobs.
No, fuck
and
him.
And I'm like,
fuck those people.
Yeah, but those jobs are going to be lost anyways. Like, that's shit that's going away.
Yeah.
That's
a Luddite mentality.
Yeah.
He's no different than those people that used to sneak into machine shops during the Industrial Revolution and sabotage and blow up machines because they're like, they're killing the assembly line. Like, you're just going to stand in the way of progress?
But you're also ignoring something, which is it took somebody to program those things and create that thing.
Right.
That's just a different job, right? It's kind of like the guy who's like, these automobiles are going to take away the horse seller business.
Yeah. Like when Trump was campaigning on bringing coal jobs back. Yeah. Like, wait a second. We're past that shit. That's done.
Yeah. So,
like, but I see these posts on Facebook every once in a while on social media, wherever. Every so often, I don't know if you guys see this, someone will post like, when you're at the grocery store, wait in line. Don't go to self-checkout.
Yeah, fuck that.
Show them that they need to employ. I'm like, no, my time is fucking valuable, first of all.
Yes.
Secondly, this is just progress.
Yes. And I appreciate not dealing with humans. I love not dealing with
humans.
You know what I get along great with? Computers. Me and computers are fucking tight, right? I don't need to talk to a person. If you made an experience, my favorite, like I love going through the self-checkout. I love, like you said, doing the checkout. My favorite restaurant is a restaurant in Fashion Valley called Smashed.
Smash Burger. Yeah.
Not because it has the best food. The food is fine. It's good. The reason is you don't have a waitress. You sit down at the table and there's an iPad and you order your food and the waitress brings you the food, but you don't have to talk to her or order anything.
Yes.
And I fucking love it. And it's great.
It's great for like people like on the spectrum.
Yes. Which I am. Yeah. And I love it. And so like it is fantastic. The more things you take away my need to interact with people, the happier I am.
Also, like when you go to the cashier, they ring up like all the items.
Yeah.
That's a good point, man. That's a great point.
I pay for one and And I steal too. And I pay for one and I steal too. And I don't flat out steal. I've gotten really good at my techniques. I'm at the grocery store. I'm buying a Honeycrisp apple. I'm ringing it up as a Red Delicious Cheapo apple. Did I just get myself a beer while it's going in as Coke Zero?
Yeah. I was going to say, how is it that kids these days aren't taking like the 6-pack of bottled Coke and swapping in one or two beers to go through the
I'm sure they are.
That has to be a thing.
By the way,
I don't think that's smart enough.
There is a self checkout at Home Depot. I am saving a fortune on my. One piece of lumber. Buy one piece of lumber, get 6 free by my own instituted policy.
And by the way, if you ever feel like white privilege isn't a real thing, call up a black friend. You probably don't have one if you don't think white privilege is a real thing, but call up a black friend and then both of you guys go through the self checkout at the same time and watch the scrutiny. That you get. Because let me tell you, I like Ryan said, I've used the self-checkout at Home Depot. Home Depot was like the pioneer of self-checkout. They've had it for over a decade. I've used the self-checkout there forever, and I go through
with
a lot of shit.
That's such a weird fact to know.
I've go to Home Depot a lot. Like, what do you want? I used to be a contractor. So I go through Home Depot a lot.
Unlicensed.
I buy a lot of shit, and they would just look at me, walk me, go through. Oh, okay, totally. I watch a guy who's like 4.5 shades darker than me try and buy $3 worth of PVC pipe, and they're checking the fucking receipt.
I like to make the employee the unwilling participant.
Can you carry this stolen shit to my car?
I've done that. One time, I was buying these metal stakes that I was using to brace my wall for them, and I had easily 20 iron stakes in my cart, $4 a piece. I'm like, hey, I can't find the bar cord on that. He clicks it for me. He's like, oh, here it is. He goes, how many you got in there? He's staring at 20 stakes. I'm like, 4? And he went, okay. I'm like, that's just great.
Jesus.
You know what we should do?
He typed it in. He typed in the number 4.
If you're still doing your yard project, next time you go to Home Depot, let's get some orange aprons and go in there and just grab everything you need and then walk up like, oh, taking this to a customer's car. Don't fucking leave.
Don't think I haven't thought about like Ocean's 11-ing like the whole Ryobi 18-volt set. Like
I mean, if you're gonna steal something, let's go Milwaukee or Hilti. Come on.
I was looking at this fucking Brad nailer that's like $300. I'm like, how far does this go?
Not far.
I'm sure that like fucking those have like some sort of magnetic thing in them or something, but maybe not. Maybe I should just roll the dice.
Yeah, no. By the way, I'll lend you a nail gun if you want one. You get a compressor anyway. You don't want that.
Maybe we should start a Kickstarter for Degenerate's bail money just on the off chance. We end up getting into something.
No, but Bobby, I'm with you. Back to your original point. I love being in the store where I can hear some fucking grumpy old Clint Eastwood motherfucker going, yeah. I don't use those stupid things. I don't use those stupid things. They're stupid. They're stupid. I'm like, and I still hear him saying that as I leave the store while he's still in line, saying how stupid it is. And I get to go, no, you're stupid.
Yeah.
And then you know what? Stay stupid. Because as long as you're saying these self-checkout kiosks are stupid and who needs them, you're going to be in that line and not jamming up this line. Yep. It's only
yeah, exactly.
That
have fun being
it.
20 minutes late for your threesome, you old jerk.
All right, on that note, let's call it a week. First of all, if you want to see me and Bobby do some stand-up, we're going to be at the Burning Beard Brewery June 13th. Dave, any shows yet?
I don't think so.
All right.
On top of that, come see me at Nerd Night the first Tuesday of June, and that'll be at 32 North Brewing at 6:30. It keeps filling up, and I have met a few people. Not only have I met some Science Faction fans, I've met a few Degenerates fans as of last time, so come on up and say hi.
All right. We'll see you next week. Cruising with the Twos.
Hey, everybody calm the fuck down.
Yeah, time passing by. Motherfucking time is passing by.